call the Fire District Prudential Committee meeting to order 20th of November 2019. Could I have a roll call, please?
Rachel Riley, Treasurer.
Kelly Eagle, Clerk.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Lisa Mycock, Kelly Prudential.
Thank you. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I need a motion to reopen the tax classification meeting.
I move we reopen the tax classification meeting previously postponed until this evening's meeting.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mr. O'Neill?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Okay, well, we'll start like we did in the previous Fire District meeting. Just go over the town at large. The town property, the whole town property value went up 5.8% from the previous year. $14 billion over $15.085 billion total value. And the fire district, the Kituit Fire District, it appears that there's a 3.2% change. Yeah. Okay. Apple kind of changed a little bit as well. Okay. If you, for those who have a handout, if you go back to towards the end, and you'll see the median values, the red on the top. All median. So we use a single family is over 21,000 in the whole town. In so at Fire District, there should be, let's see. That's what I think about. 2,123 single families. So, for the two, it is $448,200 was the median value for this year. Versus last year, it was $425,400. That's 5.36% increase in value, single family.
I'm sorry, what was the increase?
5.36. So that's the median is used as the middle point, so the so many lower and so many higher. Instead of doing an average, we use that stat across the board. So each fire district had an appreciation, not equal, of course. Each district is unique for property values. Tax recap sheet is a 4-page. That's in the handout. The tax levy for the district is $3,589,408. If you look in the large sheet in the handout, it shows the what if scenarios for taxation. Mm-hmm. If the financial committee selects, as they have done in the past, the 1.00 preferential factor that equates to a tax rate of 2.34 for the fire district. Based on the budget and the tax levy. So last year's Kituit Fire District tax was $2.38. This year it's $2.34. So fairly close. The town rates are projected to go down a little bit each from last year. That's not official yet. We're still working on that. questions?
Questions on the recap. Sure. But I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to answer, I think, more than you.
That's correct.
Obviously, when we raise in taxes, we don't get in other sources of revenue like estimated receipts, local receipts, things of that nature. When I go to the phase three of the recap, we have $1,500 in rentals that went down to $1,500. What are those rentals?
Freedom Hall.
Okay?
Freedom Hall.
Freedom Hall. Okay. We also have other charges for services, and in 2019, that's $217,617, and in this year, it was only $71,580. What are those other charges for services?
Ambulance.
So our ambulance calls went down by that much.
Receipts. It's going down in the estimate, and I always estimate conservatively to avoid a revenue deficit.
Correct. So that's what I want to know. So in the odd chance that we go over that 71,000, that goes into free cash.
It's part of the calculation of free cash.
Yes. Right, sir.
Nothing certified, right? Free cash yet?
No. Matt deferred. He said he had a stack. He has all the information, but he said, I have others that come before you.
At least you're on the list.
I'm on the list.
Which is good.
I have two more, so... Other departmental revenue that went from 236 to 207. And investment income, that's something.
Oh, other departmental revenue, that was the, what is it projected at?
207, 207,000.
Can I see that?
Sure. Line 16.
I'm sorry, charges for service from 217 to 71 is antenna and solar.
Okay.
Other departmental revenue is ambulance.
Thank you.
The reason for the decline in other charges is the stick is going down and the permanent tower is going up, so we lose that revenue.
Yeah.
About 60,000. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Do we ever budget for any miscellaneous, or does you just leave that zero?
I leave it zero.
Okay.
There are two types. There's non-reoccurring and reoccurring. And then the reoccurring would be cash lien receipts.
Okay.
Historically, we have never estimated those. You know you're going to get some, but you just don't know.
I have no idea what it's going to be.
Okay. I assume that's the same answer for Medicaid reimbursement?
Yes.
And I have one more question then. So, charges for services for water, that's obviously
that's right.
Water rates.
Right.
That's gone up about $100,000 from last year. What's the reason?
The rate increase that they instituted. I'm not taking... all that would be calculated. First of all, some of it's actually going to fall into F21 because the usage is going to build in June, and that will fall into. I've taken part of it, but I've tried to be very conservative because we don't know how much is going to be collected and how much conservation will be instituted because of the increase, which we hope happens.
Well, That's good to know that a conservative estimate puts us $100,000 more than last year.
Let's hope we achieve that.
That's good. That's
worse. On wheel. Sterilization. Any other questions?
That's it. Thank you.
So generally we do a tax classification of one.
Factor of one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, could I have a motion to continue the tax factor of one?
Second. So moved.
So moved. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Are we your last?
Maybe one more. Maybe there's someone independent, so I don't know yet. No name.
No name.
Ray's very good. He's quite uncomfortable with stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That could be any number of people that
could be.
Thank you. Next up, Treasurer's Report.
Handing out two pages or two sections. I think I'd like to deal with that first. And just a quick overview of where we stand at the end of October. Dealing with revenue first, tax collections are up approximately 20% from last year. And I attribute that to greater efficiency in the collector's office in the town. The new person in charge there, the assistant collector, is very efficient and very, very cooperative and helpful. So we are the beneficiary of, if you will, accelerated processing of tax receipts rather than just higher receipts. In the water department, water rates are ahead of budget. I should say the target for October would be 33% of the year. So that's the way we evaluate where we stand relative to budget. Water rates are about 37% of budget, so ahead. And they are also ahead of last year, as we would anticipate under the new billing structure. The fire department, the ambulance, basically level. We had an early rush of ambulance receipts. That has kind of slowed up, but we are still at 45% of budget, so we are ahead of budget in the fire department area. In the other category, we're much higher because we have higher returns and interest in I don't anticipate any gains, and we have some gains in the OPEB trust, which are reflected here. Turning to the expenditure, the prudential is at 45%, which looks like it's over budget, but we have insurance payment, our risk insurance payments of and workers' comp of almost $150,000 are paid in July, which tips the timing on that and shows us overhead where we're not. And I think looking through the line item expenditure report, I don't see anything of a concern at this stage of the game. The fire department is right on target with 33%. And in addition, as we'll talk about in another segment, we're going to be moving 9,000 expense out of operating and to an appropriation. The roof came in higher than appropriated, and it was temporarily charged to operations. We're going to be reclassing that out of operations to the appropriation where it belongs, and then we will cure that overspending by allocating unspent project money from other projects. And I'll detail those in a minute. Yes?
I was just going to say the roof came in over project because all the bids were
this
higher.
Was the lowest bid that they had last year. All the other bids were higher.
And it was higher than what we budgeted for.
Yeah. And we just didn't budget correctly for the economic conditions that was placed in that appropriation. The water department is on target below budget. The same with Freedom Hall, street lights, the library that money was transferred to the library, so that the line item is completed. And the debt service is only at 5%. That's a phased, a timed payment. We had a payment in October, the first of two long-term debt payments. So that's why that shows only 5%. That's not normally phased in a straight line. That's very static or very staggered through the year. Benefits are at 63%, and again, we have an extra month of health insurance, which is normal. We end up not spending one in June, so we run ahead of the year. But more importantly, there was a one-time payment for our retirement of about $237,000, $240,000, so that skews that that timing as well. Transfers, as we'll talk about, are really not a time. That's more of on a project basis. And turning to the second page, the first project is rehabbing the engine. That was completed in October, and it was over budget by $10,000. So, but the thing to point out about that is we spent $60,000 to put a second engine on the road, which will probably be good for upwards of 5 years. So that $60,000 investment is well worth it. Replacing the roof, as I explained, is over budget for the reasons that we also talked about. The air packs came in exactly on budget. Fire station repairs, the kitchen, which was done largely with in-house labor, is well below the 13, well below the 100,000. We'll be evaluating exactly how much we need to borrow to support that project. I've scheduled that for April. In discussions with the chief, we'll probably have a better handle on what has been done and what will be done at that point. But the fact that we're spending on that appropriation, we know that we have debt authorization that is scheduled for April. Freedom Hall flooring, we haven't had any costs come in yet this year. They'll be coming in in November. Freedom Hall ceiling, we haven't done anything on that. That's still pending. Repaving the parking lot, that's completed, and that project came in underspent by $14,925, and that we're going to use to fund the engine and part of the roof project. The water department pickup came in $6,000 under budget. The fire department came in $3,500 under budget. The space review with the funds allocated to it remains underspent by $13,000 if we choose to do any more with that. The water department security system is ongoing. I don't have a stage of completion from Chris on that. He and I just have not sat down and determined that yet. We will before the end of the calendar year. Then the other remaining projects that are going to be closed out and transferred to either debt or other projects, Lowell's Pond, Main Street Mains, but the water tank, which comprises three tanks, as I said in the district meeting last night, that's under review. It's comprised of at least three appropriations, and going back in history, trying to tease out what appropriation and what is spent and unspent on it. I have not finished that review. There is some question still We're looking, everyone has looked in their records, but we can't find where $180,000 bond authorization was rescinded. There was a great deal of discussion just as I came on board about having that bond rescinded. It was part of a $200,000 security bond, which was all tied into the new tank. So we're still trying to find out the status on that. So, as I said, that is under review. The figure that the auditors have is $132,000 for that project. I will point out that if that money is attributable to the tank itself, it will largely remain unusable by the district, because when you retire one of these projects and close it out, you must use those closed out funds for a project with similar life. And the tank had a 40-year life. The only thing that's close would be a building at 30 years. Obviously, we don't have anything like that in mind. So that's one concern about that. Any questions?
Two questions. So, thank you for that information. My first question is, you mentioned that on that water tank, it was funded through three appropriations.
Three appropriations, one grant.
Correct.
So far, there may be a fourth.
All right.
That goes back to like 2016 or 12.
So basically, one project bid out, one contractor, but a variety of appropriations, correct?
No, it was usually a series of contractors for one appropriation, another series of contractors for another.
Okay.
Where you've got mixture is in the grant and in the loan, the USDA loan and grant.
Mm-hmm.
There was some sharing of contractors.
Gotcha. So, two sources, the USDA loans, I mean grant, and then the loan. Out of, for example, just to clarify, make it easier for people to understand, let's say there was three contracts and two sources of funding. So two of the contractors' portions of the work were paid out of the loans. Other two portions were paid out of the grant. And what you're trying to do is reconcile what got paid out of what?
That and what original appropriations and debt was started going back to 2012,
mm-hmm.
that was related to the tank, some of which got paid off by the USDA loan.
Okay. I guess my question, and then obviously was before your time, but so that this doesn't happen then moving forward with the roof, because now we're trying to use a variety of funding to pay for one project, is there an internal process where we have a purchase order of some sort where you can have one source where you bundle all your different sources of funding where you're going to pay it out of a project for?
I'm not sure. I think we're confusing funding and expenditure.
Okay. Then if you don't mind.
I'll try to. Let me back up. Let's talk about the roof.
Mm-hmm.
We have an appropriation for the roof mm-hmm. of $55,000. To fund that appropriation,
mm-hmm.
we borrowed $55,000.
Gotcha.
We used the $55,000 that was borrowed, $10,000 of operating expense,
mm-hmm.
to fund the $60,000 bill for that project.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to take, in my second part of my presentation, I'm going to suggest that we close couple of projects and move those unspent funds to substitute for the operating
mm-hmm.
money that was used.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it
completely crystal clear?
Okay.
But then how does that relate to the water tank project, is what I'm trying to say.
I can't be that definitive because I'm trying to tease it out.
Okay. So, but the concern is that we have $132,000 that's coming from multiple sources of funding, but we just don't know what portion of what comes from.
I don't have them defined yet. I mean,
that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, and okay.
But you know the total. You know the total. You just don't know where they're coming from.
I'm trying to verify both the total and the various pieces.
And also, not only on the funding side, but also on the expenditure side, because as you mentioned, there are three different contractors.
what the report that I will produce will probably look like appropriation in column one.
That's what I'm saying.
Expenditure in column two, excess surplus, and then funding over here, because some of these have multiple funding.
Perfect. That's what I'm asking for.
So you'll be able to look at both the expenditure side
and the funding
side.
Perfect. Thank you.
So I think probably you might want to speak to the engineers that the water department uses, because they were instrumental in being basically the purchase officer for that fund,
right,
for that loan.
Yeah.
So they might have some information.
That and I have some very good information from the water department, but I will reach out to them too.
And if memory serves, I think at least some of the money for the purchase of the land by Lowell Park came out of that also. Yeah.
Yeah, the water rights with a separate appropriation.
Yeah.
There's $10,000 floating around about this. There's a lot of pieces in there. It's just, the more I got into it, it's just premature to talk about it, other than to say there's some work to be done to pull it apart.
And that's the point that I'm trying to make. And it's even harder when you were in here when that was originally done. It's almost here like doing investigative work to come back to find out what that is. I mean,
and also the other problem is there's two different accounting systems.
Oh, that's even better.
And trying to go into the old accounting system is not easy.
Yeah.
So that's one of the challenges.
As I mentioned in my job, I do similar things. We have $130 million water system project right now. We're funding it through a USDA grant. We're funding it through capital funding. We're funding it through SRF loans. So as much as we have different contracts will be funding from different sources of funding. So you have the expenditure issue, as we were talking about, but you also have the funding issue to know how much you took out of your loan, how much you took out of your grant, how much you took out of your capital. So if we can get a breakdown eventually, because I know what a monumental task that is. When you get there,
we'll definitely get that done.
Thank you.
Is this 132 the figure that was on last night's warrant that said you just had grant?
It had grant of $13,000.
Okay.
When we put that together, that's what it looked like was left over.
Okay.
That was, but as I had studied it and tried to pull it apart, it was apparent that that was not the correct figure.
Okay. It might be higher.
The total figure might be higher. But again, the caution, if it ends up being loan money for the tank that was underspent, I've asked if there's an appeal process. I haven't got any satisfaction on that yet. That could be just
a 30-year roof, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's getting close. I mean,
Well, while we're in that subject, in the event that that doesn't happen, that would just go to debt service? I mean, what's the other option for that? Just send it back?
Debt service would be my...
Yeah.
My, because I'm paying down something that has a 40-year loan.
Gotcha. Perfect. Thank you. Don't want to get money back if we don't have
it. Don't want to... Well, you don't give it back. It just... No. But it's unused. And that's,
right. Correct.
That's as bad as...
Correct.
But I think this one of the things that I thought about, I've always been trying to figure out why we have more cash than free cash. And this might be part of the reason.
Excellent. Thank you.
The second thing that, I'm sorry, any other questions? The second thing I wanted to talk about was the second package I handed out, which has a motion. The first motion is to give me the authority. I say upwards of $1,000,050. My intent, as you'll see on the second page, is to borrow $970. We could modify that motion to $970. I think you see if you look at the column in the 2000.
Mm-hmm.
20 December sale. Yep. Down at the bottom for total for short term is 970,
mm-hmm.
and that's the composition of that 970. So that's all I'm really going to borrow, and that's really all the authority that I need to borrow. So we can change that 1,050,000 to 970,000. And so that will partially pay down the $1,250,000. There's $200,000 in the budget for short-term loan payments. And additionally, we would have $80,000 from closed projects to also pay it down. And those closed projects, which I propose another motion, since these are all under $50,000, it is in, within the authority of the Prudential Committee, in accordance with Chapter 40, Section 44, I believe, for the Prudential Committee to close these out. And we would be closing these out and using it for debt service and for projects of similar life, such as the roof or the parking lot. Okay. I can read each one, but I don't know if that's necessary.
No, I don't think so. Lisa, can you do the draft motion for the first one?
Sure. I move that the treasurer is authorized to borrow $970,000 for the purpose of refinancing the $1,250,000 of notes due on December
20th, 2019.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Can you do the next motion?
I move that the unspent funds from the following projects to be used for the payment of debt due December 20th, 2019, $84,000, and for transfer to the stabilization fund, $3,516. Project for level fund, annual district meeting Article 10, May 28, 2018, $32,477. Project for Main Street, Maine, annual district meeting Article 10, May 23, 2013, $45,362. Fire Department and Utility Truck, annual district meeting Article 9, May 30th, 2018, $3,513. Water Department Utility Truck, annual district meeting Article 13, May 30th, 2018, $6,164. Fire Station Parking Lot Repave, special district meeting Article 2, June 26, 2018, $14,925, for a total of $102,441. To be used to pay down debt of $80,000, transferred to fire station roof repair, annual district meeting Article 6, May 30th, 2018, $9,950, transferred to fire engine repair, annual district meeting Article 17, May 2016, $10,900, and to transfer to the stabilization fund, $1,591, for a total again of $102,441.
Can I just make a chairman? Can I point out? I made, if you, when you were reading this, the previous version had 84,000. Mm-hmm. 80,000 up there and 1591, which ties down to the detail.
Say that again. That's 80,000.
I had listed 84. It's really 80,000 and 1591 goes into
right.
These.
Let's reread it.
I don't know if you have to reread the whole, but just amend the two marks here.
Well, I make a motion to amend the motion I just made as follows. By scratching 84,000 and replacing with 80,000 on the second line of the motion, and to scratch 3,516 from transfer to the stabilization fund and replace it with $1,591. Anyone follow that?
Second. Yes.
All right.
So, all in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And I just want to make a point of order when you're reading this. The number one project for Lowell Pond ADM, Article Number 10, 528, 2008, not 2018.
I apologize.
That's okay.
2008. So, a lot to read.
Yeah.
That's just a level spawn in that regard, too.
Yeah.
Not a level spawn.
Is there a motion, a second, for, to second this motion?
I do.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. That's all I have.
Thank you.
And I just, do you have an idea of how much is in the OPED account? About? That's okay if you don't. Okay, great. So next I put the space needs project on next. We just thought we could have a brief discussion about any ideas of what we want to do with that. Anybody have any thoughts? I think we can probably go into it deeper in another meeting, but...
Yeah, I mean, I hate to completely scrap everything that we've learned. I think we kind of maybe have to piecemeal other potential options, you know, cost of if we're not going to be able to complete another building, what are the kind of piecemeal of figuring out where our treasurer and assistant treasurer are going to reside, the cost of digitalizing, the expense of doing that,
place for the clerk,
things of that nature, and, you know, it doesn't appear to me from, you know, we don't have a place for that, so there's no place that we have. I don't think there's room in the station to take away from the fire to convert space here. There's no space from what I understand at the water department. We have the Freedom Hall. The architects seem to think that would be a costly venture as well in that basement, but I haven't spent a significant amount of time in the basement since Girl Scouts. Yeah. And, you know, clearly we're going to have to come up with a list of the things. I think we need to come up with a priority of what needs to be dealt with first. What's the most important thing? Is it getting the space for the three individuals who need space? Is it getting our records squared away so they're not in this god-awful basement here? Just we need to come up with a priority and then come up with a variety of options to address them.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think the easiest thing to do probably is to deal with the records. Just to let you know, in 1998, there was a feasibility study done of Freedom Hall, which would have put in a lift into the basement with two handicapped bathrooms in the basement and a small kitchenette for people to use, along with replacing all the electrical and replacing all the plumbing. The electrical's been done, the plumbing hasn't been done, so some of the pipes in there are brass, and they're from 1868. And this is 1998. And the amount that was cost in 1998 is $400,000. Because along with doing that, currently Freedom Hall has a septic tank, has a cesspool, and that would have to be removed and upgraded to a septic tank, which would have to go in the parking lot, and I have no idea how much that would cost, but it would have to be a special tank, correct, for people to drive on?
Yep, stage 20 loading.
Yeah, so that would be a huge amount of money also.
And in the parking lot.
In the parking lot, and the basement is still damp. It's not completely dry. So, we also need to. They have in the past looked at going out of the village for a rental office, but they didn't find anything at that time, and that also has state regulations that require ADA compliance with either elevators or bathrooms or ramps. And, you know, I'm not sure how there's only one building in town that I'm aware of that has a ramp, which is across the street from you. Mm-hmm. And that's already filled. And, you know, I don't think anybody is going to, you know, put in a ramp or an elevator, you know, to run to the fire district. So I think, you know, we need to clarify and make sure that, you know, we can't go outside of the district, but I'm pretty sure we can't, but that's not been clarified.
So my opinion is that we have two things going on simultaneously. We have short-term problems, such as finding office space for staff, dealing with the records, and things of that nature. And then we have long-term issues, which, again, because I kind of came in the middle of the feasibility study when I was elected, for some stupid reason, I was under the impression that that included a feasibility study not only for our staff, but the district as a whole. So I think that's something that there's a problem with that, because we got to look into where the district is heading. Where are we going to be in the next 20, 30 years? Is there going to be a need for more firemen? Absolutely. There's a need for more firemen now. There's a need for, in every fire department, there's a need for more firemen. Basically, they're overworked. They have tons of, their overtime items are shot. So there's that issue. There's also the issue of, you know, the water department. They also have state requirements that tell them that they have to have a certain amount of staff. With the population growing, that's going to change too. So when you do a feasibility study, you do it district-wide to figure out what are you going to need in every single part of your district. How are you going to put people in those buildings? What are, as you mentioned, you have code issues with ADA, you have code issues with Title V, you have all of these things, and then you try to create a facility that's going to either house everybody or you start looking into other soft ideas. For example, and I know, maybe, I don't know, I mean, everybody kind of talks about it separately, but I don't think we've ever talked about it publicly, but there's the issue of consolidation. That's something that could be looked at. We do a lot of calls for Mashpee. We're basically like an alternate to them. There's also COM. There's also a variety of things. So that's only on the fire side. What do we do with the water? So there's a variety of things going on here. I feel that with the short-term thing, to give you an example, talking about going outside of the district, the northernmost fire station in Plymouth has issues with their facilities, and they got closed down, and they're working out of Kingston right now. So temporarily, that's allowed. If we want to look into finding offices for our staff here outside of the district, we should look into that. Because at this point in time, we're a small district. We don't have many options, and unfortunately, we have to get creative more than the town of Barnstable, for example, is a huge town with a lot of facilities and a lot of things that they could use for a variety of things. We don't have that luxury. So sometimes it may look out of the norm, out of the box, but that's what we have to be as a small district. When it comes to the records, we should totally look into digitizing. Done that in a couple of towns. When Governor Baker did the Muni Bill a couple of years ago, that's one of the things that became law. Now, all of a sudden, you can keep, I think, only a few types of records you have to keep in paper form, but the vast majority of them, you can digitize them, and they become your public records now. And that is why also the public records law changed. Because before, you just had to answer people within 7 days. Now, you have to produce something within a certain amount of time frame because they're expecting people to have their records digitized and easily accessible. So one of the things I mentioned since I started here is just we're at a crossroads. I've seen this in every small town that I've worked in. We're in the 21st century now. We got to, unfortunately, start adapting to 21st century rules, or we're going to get in trouble because we're not going to be able to provide the services that people are expecting of us. But we also have to tame those expectations and say, we're a small district. This is only so much what we can do. So to me, more than a feasibility study, we got to look at the scope of the district, who we are as a district, where do we see ourselves going, and create a long-term plan for every aspect, for every office, for every person who works for this district. Even us, do we want to go to a 5-member board instead of 3-member board because we can't even talk to each other, mm-hmm. which is detrimental to the way we do business.
Yeah.
So we have to me, long term, we have to look at every facet. Short term, I think it's a matter of dealing with the records and finding the staff suitable places to do their business. Also, you know, office hours. That's not something I do with my staff. For example, I'm the director of the natural resources team in my town. So one of the things we do is we have a shellfish warden. She has to go out and inspect and do all these things constantly, but she also issues shellfish permits. So at the end of the day, the last hour of the day, she has office hours. So that's expected that they're going to be here so people can do business. So there's soft ways to get creative and use our staff in the best way possible. So I think at that point, we're looking at everything now. And that's what I'm going to look into. And with the policy advisory committee that we're going to reconvene soon, that's one of the things that hopefully the other departments, the other representatives from the other departments will help me do that so that we can bring ideas to the committee.
I just want to clarify, when we first started working with the Architects for the Space Needs, we asked Water Department. They didn't want anybody to even go to Water, okay? We went through this building. They interviewed the chief, and I remember talking about additional staff and future needs. So I just don't want the idea that the Space Needs Study was just being looked at for housing these three individuals in our records to be on the record, because we walked through here, we looked at the needs of the fire department. I know they met with the chief, and that was kind of how we came up with that first proposal that made us all, gag personally, with that giant number, was trying to see the future of this station and how we would get through the next, however many years, as well as satisfy the needs of basically the poor upstairs and Charlie not having an office. So, it was intended to be a full district study. It certainly was listened to the Prudential and the fire, and Water didn't have any interest in it.
Well, going back to that, again, that shouldn't be up to them. Mm-hmm. And that goes back maybe to the long-term planning and changes that we are talking about. Maybe that's a bylaw change. If you look at Comp bylaws, it's very clear that the Prudential Committee is their executive. Here, we all sit next to each other, and it's the blind leading the blind. They're supposed to be more of an operations oversight. We're supposed to be a financial oversight. There's no peer executive. So maybe that's something that could be looked into so that things like that don't happen again. Because at the end of the day, with as many good intentions as we had to do the right thing with the feasibility study, the product was just offices for them and not offices for anybody else, or a document that says, this is what we see for the fire department and the water department as well for the next 30 years. That should have been done, but it didn't happen because there's failures in our system that we got to address.
Just so you know, the water department has its own enabling legislation. It's different from the fire district, so that's a problem.
Correct, and that's what I'm saying. That's a long-term issue that needs to be addressed then, because we can't do business like that. It's not feasible. Either they're part of the district or they're not. If they're going to be half and half, one foot in, one foot out, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah,
doesn't help us. We just had, if you look at the recap sheet, where as much as they want to be separate, if you look at the recap sheet, most of our local receipts are charges for water.
Mm-hmm.
So that funding either goes to them or should go to the whole district, but we don't know. Right now it's going to them.
We do know. That's what the cost of service study was. And it determined how much of water revenue is attributable to fire suppression and how much is attributable to potable water.
Perfect. So then we know they provide us with funding, so they are part of the district. So they can't be part of the district for one thing and not part of the district for the other. That's not how it works. That's what I'm saying. It's just those things need to be addressed. Those things need to be discussed, as difficult as they may. But we got to establish a pattern moving forward on how to do business in a way that's beneficial to the residents of our district, because that's not serving them well. Just because I don't take that as an excuse that they don't want to participate. It's not for them. It's for the district. They should want to participate. And we should be able to have a way of saying, you're going to, it's not your call. It's not your call. So.
No.
It's just, that's the frustrating thing that I've dealt with since I started in this committee. It's just, it's fairly simple to fix. We just got to get our heads down and work together and figure it out.
Okay, thanks. Move on to the Freedom Hall floor. That's completed and beautifully, I think. Mr. O'Neill did say that they could put us on a program of coming down and refreshing the floor. I don't know if you do that once a year or once every couple of years. The charge for once a year is $700. I think it'd be well worth it.
With all the dancing that goes in there. That's a solid idea.
Yeah. So
I'd be for that.
I think that's something to, you know, for the budget.
Yeah. It is beautiful.
Thank you for asking me for that.
So, then there's some really good news. So, Crystal, I've been talking to Crystal over at CRMN about streetlights. And, you know, particularly when the gentleman that was at Tupelo and the Whitmar Road streetlight problem that he wanted us to pay for. Obviously, Crystal has a pin at Eversource because she was actually able to speak to somebody and get an answer. So we aren't paying for the lights. CLMM isn't paying for their lights. There's a man named John R. Callahan who apparently has 3 metered accounts. So he's paying for their lights.
For all their lights.
For all their lights. Wow. So I haven't been able to find a telephone number for the gentleman that was here, but I did find his address, so I'm going to mail
Jim
this.
Callahan?
No, not Jim Callahan, Mr. Fontana that was here. The other, you know. So I'm going to mail this information to him so that... So, so did you have a chance to look at the minutes for October
28th? Yep. I have no
time. No. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of October 28th,
2019?
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is there any public comment?
Carol Grace, 869 Avenue. Thank you, Sylvia, for that great idea. I think that this is benefit from taking a step back during, in addition to what you've already done, and clarifying, you know, one more time. And in saying that, I never like to give suggestions without volunteering. In our bylaws, general section of section 11, the central committee, the board of fire commissioners, and the board of water commissioners may from time to time appoint a panel of citizens of the district to act as an ad hoc committee to study and advise on subjects of interest to the district. So besides overloading you guys and or overloading the bylaws, the advisory committee you were talking about, maybe we can get a small ad hoc committee that looks into just the records, because that's a daunting document, and you know, so it's another way, while you figure out if you're going to go to 3 to 5, to utilize some of these committees, and I'd be happy to help with that, as I'm sure other citizens of the district would as well. Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. One of my things I find very disheartening is the way misinformation gets spoken by the committee. If you read the first report done by you guys with the Water Department participate, so all your discussions bad-mouthing the Water Department saying they wouldn't want to participate with incorrect information. You all three have a copy of that report. I find it disheartening that you didn't read it and don't understand what it said. It said that when they went over and did their assessment, that they didn't need any additional office space or anything. That didn't mean they didn't participate. It means they didn't need anything else. That is a big difference. And that is how it's written in the report.
I'll have to take another look at that report, but I wasn't aware that the architects actually went to the water department.
Yeah, I don't know that they actually...
Well, it says in their report that they might have not physically went, but they must have contacted them. So, I mean, we got to start working as a team instead of starting to separate out.
I mean, I don't think the comments... I usually don't take the time to respond, but I don't think anybody in this committee is trying to disparage other committees or not, or other staff or anything like that. I did read that part of the report, and I did see that it said that. But again, as I mentioned, that project was kind of started when I first started in the committee. So the mechanics of how that information got to that report or not, I don't know. But that is an excellent question, and I'm going to follow up with the architects and just get more information. Because, again, what's important to me is that we all work together. We all work together and figure things out.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
And when it comes to having members of the public in committees to assist us with larger projects, I agree. I think when it comes to operations and staff, we will discuss with staff what's going to work for them best. But if there ever was another idea of creating a new building, I wholeheartedly agree with you that there should be a public committee in the same way that we have the advisory committee that is one member of each of the boards and then members from the public at large. Because we definitely have to reach out to people, see how they feel about our ideas and our suggestions that are going to affect them as well. So I completely agree with you on that. When it comes to operations, I think that's a tricky thing. I think maybe you could stay in-house.
Yeah.
In case, do we know the square footage of document storage that we need? Do we know how big a space those documents live in now, and how big we would need the area to store those documents? Are they in a 6x8 room, a 10x12?
It needs to be reviewed what documents actually need to be kept.
No, I understand. But do we know how big a square footage the area is that currently houses those documents?
Right.
It's down in the basement.
It's
not a very large room.
There are very large rooms.
And they're piled on top of each other.
Right. And does anybody know how we voted for a $100,000 kitchen for the fire station?
We didn't vote for a $100,000 kitchen. It wasn't just for the kitchen. It was for security updates and multiple other projects here on the fire station. It wasn't $100,000 for the kitchen, just the kitchen.
And again, I want to take the time now, as Ray mentioned, through the efforts of the fire department staff themselves, we've been able to save so much money. So thank you for doing that.
We've got a kitchen that only cost a little over $13,000.
Correct.
So we will get $100,000.
So, motion to adjourn.
Do we know how much is left over in that $100,000?
You subtract $13,758.
That is sitting in an appropriation account.
Correct.
And.
Can we allow public comment from somebody else? Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Bruce Flaxman, Oxford Drive. I heard a comment tonight that, you know, our resources are being stretched, and at the same time I heard this comment about seems like we're supporting NASPE, and I understand there's mutual aid and that, but I've heard in the past too that there was a period of time that it seemed like we were doing a fair amount of their coverage. Is that a detriment to our health?
Correct, because home also helps us. As you said, it's mutual aid, so...
I believe that we're doing less mutual aid with NASPE than we have in the past. It's been negotiated to a one-to-one.
Yeah. What I was referring to more was the fact that we're so close to them. We do provide a lot of services to them in the same way that we're so close to COM, and they provide a lot of services to us. So those economies of scale should be looked into to see how they could benefit us more. Like he's saying, the chief's already looking into that, so we could holistically look at doing the same thing for everywhere else.
Thank you.
right. So can we adjourn? Motion to adjourn? All those in favor?
Aye. Thank you.